email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio.
Anne's been on WhatsApp. Watch Shrek Osgaelga over the holidays. Funny, totally dubbed, no subtitles, hilarious. Hubby and I surprised ourselves in how much we understood, as we only have school Irish decades ago and in Dungarvan's. There. It'll be 61 years next June since I did my leaving cert. I still feel 18, says Eileen. Happy New Year to you and yours. Missing you on Netflix or Say Nothing on Disney. Both brilliant, says Gary. And just Robin, feeding the Robin here in Termin Fechan, County Louth. A reminder to keep feeding these little ones, especially during this cold snap. Robin feeding the Robin in Termin Fechan. There's sort of a nice little rhythm to that, isn't it? Robin feeding Robin in Termin Fechan. Dennis says, I did dry January last year and it turned into a dry year. Once you get over the shock waves it causes among your old drinking pals, it's all positive. Lost nearly 10 kilograms, sleep better, the year of no hangovers, more energy. The older you get, the most valuable commodity is time. The other thing is, the older you get, the more difficult it is for your body to deal with hangovers. I had a lot of fun in the bars of Dublin and elsewhere, but what else could I have been doing, I asked myself. Best wishes to all embarking on dry January, February, March, etc. Dennis. Did I say the WhatsApp number yet? 0870 32 32 32. 0870 32 32 32. Now, as I said, it was in 1925 when students sat the Leaving Cert for the first time. And I read a fascinating article in the Irish Times over the weekend by Carl O'Brien, featuring our next guest, Professor David Malone, about the history of the Leaving Cert. Hello, David.
Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Good. Good to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. So you happened into this by accident. It was some mate of yours saying on social media that maths was a lot more difficult in his day.
How was it? I have a mate called Eddie, who I knew when I was a teenager. And he had, he was given out about the math syllabus, in fact, in the UK, and how they weren't doing complex numbers and integration.
Right.
And he was sure he'd done that for the intercert. And I went back and I was able to find, you know, the books of exams that we all practice on before we go and do the leaving or the inter. I found that and I copied a page for him and I went, look, no integration, no complex numbers. And he was going, oh, you're dead right. I checked with my maths teacher. Uh-huh. My memory was bad. And I thought this was an important thing to go and kind of look at then.
So then you've digitized all the maths papers over the last 100 years.
We have more or less them all now. It was quite a challenge to go and find them all, in fact. But we've not just the maths ones. We have, for the leaving, we've applied maths, physics, chemistry, biology and technical drawing, and now I've added computer science in too, and we've ones for the intercert and for the junior cert too, science and maths and things like that.
Now, I don't know what sort of masochist would go and want to look at their maths paper from the Leaving Cert. Well, I do, because I did it. We printed off mine in 1981, so it was the first paper, higher level maths. The first thing is solve the simultaneous equations. 1x is equal to 1 1/4, 1x plus 1y is equal to 2 1/3, and 1x plus 1y plus 1z is equal to 3 1/2. What's the answer? No, I'm joking. but you can do that. But it's fascinating in what you've seen, the change and the evolution of the Leaving Cert. So tell us about the first one back in 1925. How many people sat it?
Sure. So I have the numbers in front of me for 1926. It was 427 boys and 128 girls.
Wow.
That was it.
Compared to and around 60,000, isn't it now?
Yeah, so it's 100 times that now, effectively, is what we have taken the lead. Right. So it's
who were
much
those
more
people?
Accessible to people. Well, I guess they because there was no free secondary education at the time, if you wanted to go on to secondary school, you either had to be academic and get a scholarship for yourself to go on to secondary, or you had to be wealthy enough to be able to pay for a secondary education. So it's a very different group of people. Really now, not everybody gets to Leaving Cert now, but a big fraction of the population do.
And what was the impetus?
So it's very, very different.
What was the impetus for the government putting the Leaving Cert in place 100 years ago?
Well, there actually had been a previous system. So this was, it was set up, the Leaving Cert was set up as a replacement for a system that existed when Ireland was part of the UK.
Uh-huh.
And there was, people might know that in England, they have a sort of board-based system where different education boards produce different exams. And there was a board for Ireland produced intermediate and higher exams for Ireland. And so this was essentially taking over that system.
Okay. Now, the thing that's sort of quaint in a way, but remarkable, is the fact that there were different questions in certain sections of the papers in maths for boys and girls.
Sure, this is a really interesting story now. So if you look, the most obvious example of this is for the Intercert. Back in the 30s, they introduced a special exam, and it was called Elementary Mathematics for Girls Only. And you might think, oh, that's terrible, that's really bad. And it turns out, if you go, I sort of went digging around, why did they do this? And it turns out that at the time, if you were a girl, you didn't even have to take Intercert Maths. You could just take your arithmetic exam, because it was an arithmetic exam at the time. And then you could do something else like science or music instead, and you wouldn't have to take maths at all. And the department were actually worried that this would mean there would be hardly any maths teachers for girls, because like most of the girls in 30s Ireland have been taught in girls' schools, and they're being taught by women. And if women aren't keeping maths even up to the Intercert, how are they going to go on to college, study maths? And so they wanted to introduce something that would keep women studying maths. And that this was the answer to the problem. It meant that more of the women in the secondary school could teach the girls, and hopefully then they would keep it on.
I'm just in 1925, so the technical drawing paper for 1925 has a boys only section.
Yep.
And that, what did they ask the boys to do in that?
It's usually, so the boys, they're usually asking them to draw designs or sort of plans for stuff. And the girls, they're getting them to draw flowers and wallpaper patterns and these kinds of things. We've even seen some questions for the girls' papers where it's like, you're being asked to add up how many bracelets you need and things like this. So there is a certain amount of stereotypical stuff going on.
I'd say a lot. And I think from the latest statistics, girls do better, don't they, across the board in maths?
Yeah, certainly the overall result. Yes. I think maybe maths and physics are one of the few subjects where boys have an edge still. And
a slight edge.
Most subjects, the girls are ahead.
Right. OK, so have things got easier for people or more difficult over the years?
Well, that's an interesting question. So at first it's hard to compare because we've got a very different group of people taking these exams compared to 100 years ago. But we did have a look. We took the 1926 exam and we had a detailed look at some of the maths questions from the higher exam paper. And we were looking at some of them going, oh, this is tough stuff. This is stuff you might ask people in first year in university or maybe even later. And I sort of wrote out what I thought a model answer would look like. And then we went and we found some textbooks from the time and we had a look at in fact, one of the hard questions that we found, which was tricky enough, was actually an example in the textbook. And then a second question, which seemed hard, they were being asked to do something complicated with sequences. And it turned out that, in fact, there was an answer in the textbook, which was wrong and was about three lines long instead of a half a page. So in some cases, you need a bit more context to really get the.
Yeah. So if you had the textbooks covered, you were well covered yourself.
I suspect so. In some of these cases, certainly.
Yeah, like this, there's an expression in that article: "Is it teaching to test?" Is it?
Yeah.
And that's been a criticism levelled at, I suppose, the Leaving Cert forever.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I mean, people sometimes claim that the Leaving Cert has a lot of memory work in it, and I think there is some memory work, but a lot of it is actually better achieved not with memory work, but with practice. And a lot of us are too lazy to do the practice, and then we slip into doing the memory work instead. And I mean, it's a natural thing to do for some people. I mean, so while maths was a thing that I liked, my Irish wasn't so good. And so effectively, I did try and learn some of my Irish off by heart, though that wasn't very good idea.
But is it possible to learn maths off by heart?
Well, maybe that's an interesting example we have for you then. So at the moment, we're going through maths papers from different eras.
Yeah.
And we're having a look to see how closely do they match the questions in the book. How often are they asking you something that's just memory? How often are they getting you to do something new?
Interesting, very interesting. Yeah. And what are you finding? Where do you think it's going to go?
In fact, the kind of questions that the pure memory work in maths, like where they ask you to write down a definition for something or say, you know, basically just something we're expected to reproduce something from the book. Yeah, that's been going down.
The volume of a cylinder, for example.
So these kinds of formulas and things, they don't ask you to write that down very much anymore. Right. They'll ask you to do a question around it. Uh-huh. And that was decreasing. It went back up a little bit during COVID and it's coming back down again now. But it's actually at a pretty low level compared to historically the amount that they might ask you in that line.
So this year, when the annals of the Leaving Cert are written, will be a big year, because come September the format's changing for a number of subjects.
Interesting, in fact, some of the subjects already have these revisions in. So the Leaving Cert Applied Maths was actually one of the things that hadn't been revised in for the best part of 100 years. There have been small changes, but not very big changes over the full period. And for the last 3 or 4 years, the Leaving Cert Applied Maths has been actually quite revised. There's very modern mathematics on it now. And in fact, they've had the project has been brought in, as I know several subjects now are looking at having 40% for a project, and that's already in place for Applied Maths and a couple of other subjects as well. Yeah. So this stuff that's coming in September, they're actually sort of they're part of a big change that's happening gradually.
But it's interesting, that teaching to the test, which a lot of schools are involved in, means that the grades are getting higher and higher. And we're in a situation in this country now where people who get the maximum points still can't get the course they wanted, which that can't be sustainable, can it?
No, I think this is, now some of this, if you have a look at the how the points have gone over the years, they've been drifting upwards for a long time.
Right.
But that isn't really a problem, because if the drift is slow and everybody is seeing sort of same gradual increase, that's fine. It's not a problem.
Until
you start bumping up against the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the because of the drift up during COVID, that has us bumping up against the top now. And that's why we have to have some reforms, maybe in the marking schemes. The sort of extra latitude people were given for COVID now, that I think the plan is to try and wash that out.
Yeah, so that difficult thing to do, isn't it?
I mean, it's tough on everybody, because nobody wants to be disadvantaged with respect to the previous year. But there is quite a lot where you're mainly competing with your own year. I know there is a bit of competition with the years around you, but for the CAO, the main competition is with your own year.
Adrian makes a good point, Dave. Maths would have been much harder in the past, even without calculators, but also imperial measures and pre-decimal currency.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is an interesting question. What is a difficult question has changed, I suppose. When I did the intercert, we weren't allowed calculators, and I think that would be the case for you too,
yes,
right?
Yes, it would, yes.
And so
thanks for even sort of feigning a question there, David. Go on.
So from that, I mean, we were all very good at doing calculations out in a bit of paper.
Yes.
And when the calculators came in, it meant we could sort of focus on a different thing as being the difficult part of the question. You know, the accuracy is important, but it sort of moves around what you need to focus on. And the same with the imperial units, all the old conversions that people used to be able to do. You don't need to carry that part around, and it gives you a bit more scope maybe to do something more interesting.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, with all this AI stuff coming now, whether that's going to be a little bit like calculators. You'll have to learn to use it sensibly and responsibly, but you know, maybe it will let us take some of the work and move it somewhere else and actually let us focus on more interesting things.
I was having a chat over the Christmas with somebody about, do we need to learn languages anymore with, you know, instant translators in our phones? You know,
I think so. I'm not a strong languages person myself, and I miss not having it, even though I can translate things for myself using Google and so on.
Okay.
You know, the nuance is lost, and I think if languages are definitely something that's worth having if you're good and you can talk well and convincingly and understand.
Yeah, it is a huge advantage.
It's a huge advantage.
Now there are digitized papers from over the last 100 years, and you can go to, where do you find those?
I'd say the easiest thing to do, if people search for Maynooth Archive of Maths Exam Papers, they'll get a link to the page, and we have all the things for the last 100 years there. We're missing the odd one. And in fact, there's one thing that I would like to extend out to if I could get it.
Yes.
Before people were able to go on to secondary school automatically, some people did an exam called the primary cert.
Right.
And I'm still hunting for the papers for the primary cert.
The primary cert. Okay.
Yeah. Because if you couldn't go on to secondary, you had to stay in school until you were 14. Mm. And they had a finishing exam for people who are finishing up in primary and then going out into the world.
Okay.
And it would be very, I think that ran up to 1967. And I've only seen one of them, and I would love to see more.
Primary cert papers, if you have one in the attic. And just, Aisling, I think you love Aisling. We leave the last words to her. I love sitting down with the Leaving Cert honours papers and a glass of wine. I'm that masochist. I was never allowed to do honours maths, but managed to do electrical and mechanical engineering in college. Love maths as Aisling. So there. Dave Malone. Brilliant. From Maynooth, thanks so much for talking to us. That was fascinating. Thanks, David.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.